The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Thanks for listening to the Believe You Me podcast, which is brought to you by Manscaped.com, the very best in below-the-belt grooming.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, welcome back to the Believe You Me podcast. Hope you are all well. If you're, you know, a regular listener to the show, then obviously today is a sad day. Anthony Smith didn't get the job done. Harrington is so sad that we don't know where he is right now, but he will be joining us in just a second. Hopefully. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Mike. Everything's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I'm a little sad about Anthony. I'm just happy he didn't, like, lose the fight, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess you're right. There is a moral victory in that, but that's not what he wanted. He did not want that at all. Of course, he put a lot of effort into that training camp. I wanted to have this discussion right off the top. I was hoping that Harrington would be here as well. He was fine a second ago, wasn't he? He was here. He looked good.
It was wild. It was the best
background was amazing.
Been.
And then he just disappeared and he went off and they said, I've got to change up my computer. I've got to get my girlfriend's computer and all the rest of it. Have you noticed that Harrington loves to mention the fact that he has a girlfriend as much as possible? He loves to just get that in there.
There was years she wouldn't even let him acknowledge that they knew each other. So
he played the long game. He finally won her over. Kind of like Callum. I shouldn't say this, but too late. It's cats out of the bag. Callum was in the friend zone with his girlfriend for a long time. Do you know what I mean? I was like, Callum, because he liked her and I think he asked her a few times. I should not be talking about my son's relationship. Edit that bit out. Don't. You don't have to. So we're just filling time until Harrington joins us. But I'll get into the Anthony Smith thing real quick because, you know, we like to be silly. We like to have a laugh on this podcast, but we've got to address this off the top. So, we're all disappointed. We were all behind Anthony in there. I thought he looked good early. You know, right hand was sharp. He was throwing some nice counters. Ankalaev is a formidable opponent, you know, as we said last week, 17-1, tremendous record, long win streak, great wrestler, good striker, 6'3", you know, Dagestani. We could go on fucking all day. I was impressed with how confident Anthony was. The right hand was looking good. He was throwing some kicks. Neither man was really getting an advantage. You know, it was a very, very even round. And then I think he threw a kick and then rolled over, right? And then led on his back for a while. And I was like, shit, get up. But obviously, didn't know that's when he injured his ankle.
Right, yeah. Ankalaev kind of like bumped into him and he rolled onto his back and then he started fishing for leg locks. Hey, guess who just showed up?
Yeah. Yeah. How much are you sure? Are you good to go? Are we ready? Can we roll?
I'm positive. My my other computer just stopped working moments before we were about to press record.
It's okay. Well, it wouldn't be the Believe in Me podcast unless there was some technical difficulty. Your microphone, are you coming through your microphone? Because you sound very hollow and tinny, and maybe it's just the way you sound. I got to say, the way you look is improving. Good for you. We were just talking about, while I fill some time, just double check your settings.
Beard.
Good.
The beard is good. Speak up. Say something.
I'm speaking. How's that sound?
Way better, Mike. You're good.
There we go. We were just talking about Anthony saying we've got to talk about this off the top before we get into any nonsense and silliness like we always do. And clearly talk about the fights that happened at the weekend. We're all gutted. We're all very, very sad for Anthony Smith. He hurt his leg in the fight. Apparently, there's no fracture. That's what Dana White said at the post-fight press conference. Still haven't got an update from Anthony how he's doing. But, you know, I mean, so many things can go wrong in a mixed martial arts fight. I thought he was looking good. You know, neither man was really, I was just saying to Brian a second ago, neither man was establishing any dominance, you know, which that in itself is great because Ankalaev is such a formidable opponent. But in the words of Boris Johnson, them's the breaks. And it fucking is. It's sometimes that. Look at Tom Aspinall last week. The week before it, Brian Ortega and Yair Rodriguez. Do you know what I mean? So many injuries happen in this sport, and it's sadly a part of the game. And if anything, Anthony, if you hear this, just try and tell yourself that. You know what I mean? Obviously, you're going to be pissed off. You're going to be disappointed. When you lose a fight, there's always a part of it where you think, should I have even bothered doing all that hard work, all that sacrifice? You know, I often feel for people that if they go out there and get knocked out in the first minute, it's like, well, what did I even bother doing all that training for? Well, it's there. It's in the tank. The improvements were made. You know what I mean? So it's not completely wasted. And the reality is he wasn't beaten down. I mean, technically it goes down as a loss, but he was fucking injured in the fight.
And it's like, you know, there is something to be said. I mean, that first round, there was one exchange I remember like quite clearly, right? Where Anthony landed first, got Ankalaev to react, to try to throw the counter. Anthony dives back out away and then comes back in for a little 1-2. And I was like, oh, he's got the timing down. He's figured out like there was something clicking where I'm like, man, Anthony Smith is going to take over this fight later on. And I don't feel like they covered any of those highlights in between round one and round two. So I'm sitting there being like, man, like what? Why are they talking about this like it's the Ankalaev show? And then Anthony Smith comes out and immediately, you know, shoots in for the takedown and just stays in close. And it's like, oh, did they know something on the broadcast? Like this is a foregone conclusion given how Anthony went back to the corner there.
Yeah, well, obviously they're all mic'd up in the corner, so maybe they heard something that we weren't privy to. But no doubt we'll get the full lowdown from Anthony on Thursday when he joins us. We've also got Sugar Sean O'Malley joining us as well, so I'm very excited for that one. But yeah, I mean, when he was on the ground, now it makes sense in hindsight that he'd hurt his leg. So, you know, he was maybe trying to get Ankalaev to come down. In round two, when he was trying to get the takedown, I understand now as well. Because at first I was like, you know, Ankalaev's a really good wrestler, you know, you're trying to take him down. But of course, if you've compromised your leg, it's really hard to dance around the octagon, hit angles, pivot, you know, forward and back movement, lateral side-to-side movement, if your leg's hurting. If your leg's hurting so badly that you feel like you've broken your leg, then, I mean, number one, credit to the man for still continuing trying to fight. Of course, he had to switch to a grappling game plan. But, you know, nah, well, fuck it. What are you going to do? We can sit here and break it down all day long. Stay positive, Anthony. There's a lot of positives to take away. Go on, Harrington.
I was going to say, he went in there in round two on a busted wheel with the same game plan that Paul Craig had, you know, with you know, weeks and weeks leading up to a fight camp. Like, he went there and went for it, being like, look, my only path to victory at this point is likely to find to catch Ankalaev in a leg lock. And he 100% went for it, put himself in harm's way, in danger, to still find a finish while he's out there with a busted wheel, knowing that he cannot stand and bang anymore. There is something to be said for that, certainly.
Oh, without question. I mean, everyone knows the man has tremendous heart, you know, and he'll be back. This is what I text him, you know, the reality is, and it's the same thing that I said to Tom Aspinall as well. You know, you just got to look at this as a bump in the road. You know, it's not the end of the road. It's unfortunate. You've got an injury. It slows your momentum for sure, you know, but you can't give up on yourself. That's the number one thing. It's easy for fans online to talk shit. It's for people on message boards and forums and on Twitter. You know, you get a lot of fair-weathered fans that talk a lot of shit. They jump on bandwagons and then they jump off them real quick. Those people don't matter. The only real person that matters more than anyone is the fighter themselves. Because once you give up on yourself, and this applies to all of life, really, once you give up on yourself, the game's up. It's over. Forget about it. Anthony, that has to be the main takeaway. Say, well, fuck it. Okay, I went in there. I hurt my leg. It's a shitty situation. You can't polish a turd. We can't all sit here and say, oh, it's fucking great. Let's look at the positives. It's fucked up. It's shit. He hurt his leg. He lost the fight. He didn't go there to lose. Of course, he's going to go away. He's going to lick his wounds, you know, fucking drink maybe a few too many beers. Feel sorry for yourself for a day or two. That is the natural course of events, but then you get back up, you rise like the fucking lion heart that you are, you know? Because listen, I had many ups and downs throughout my career, lost an eye, lost multiple fights, number one contender fights, you lose that, you claw your way back. And eventually at 37 years old, I became the champion. Anthony Smith has every possibility, every chance in the world of doing that. So Anthony, we cannot wait for the comeback. But this pun just occurred to me. Ankalaev took out the ankle of Lionheart Smith. Ankalaev by name, Ankalaev by nature. My God, you got to watch your ankles in when you're in there with Magomed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He'll Ankalaev pick you.
Yeah. Something like that. I'm like, I don't know what the pun is, but there's definitely one there. If I had better comedic timing, I could think of it. But still, anyway, enough of that. There we go. We had to get that off the top. We're going to go through all the stuff. The lioness Amanda Nunes and the lionesses. I've got to give a shout out to the lionesses, British, the English women's team. They won the Euros, so well done to them. Congratulations. That's it.
That's cool.
We're not going any further with it than that, but well done to them all. I watched it yesterday. They beat Germany.
I just didn't know the English could beat the Germans without anybody else's help.
Well, we beat the Germans and we fought them on their shores many, many fucking times, dickhead. How many times were you bombed? How many times were you bombed?
Once and then never again. They knew better.
Well, you weren't bombed by the Germans either. You were on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. Very, very safe. Very, very safe. Anyway, let me see. So, Anthony. Jesus Christ. See, this is what I have to deal with you. Harrington, give me that news story about Gordon Ramsay.
Okay, so Gordon Ramsay is getting quite a bit of flack online for a TikTok video that was posted that showed him heading into a pen of baby lambs, very excited to let them know that one of them was going to be cooked and picked one. Yeah, roll the tape.
This made me laugh. Give me some sound, Brian. This is pretty funny. I'm going to eat
you. Yummy, yum, yum, yum.
I mean,
yummy, yum, 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 yum. Which one's going in the oven first?
Oh my God. Right. So, yeah, look, listen. And then he jumps in, they all shit their pants. So he's getting backlash on TikTok, right? Why? How do you think any piece of meat ends up there? Look, listen, I get it. There's a lot of vegans out there and animal rights and all the rest of it. I am a very a big proponent of animal rights. I am. But the reality is people eat meat and he's having a little bit of a joke. The lambs themselves cannot understand him. You know, I understand that some of this bloody, you know, the SJW community and the overly sensitive teenagers and the vegans are fucking losing their minds over it. But come on, let's be honest. How do you think every single piece of meat ends up? It's a sad reality.
Okay, that's fair. Mike, as somebody though who worked in a slaughterhouse, did anybody you ever work with have that cheery of a disposition when it came to the death and destruction of another life?
Oh, yes. Many, many times.
Really?
Oh, God. They were horrible. I mean, not when the actual slaughtering. I never saw someone going, okay, motherfucker, you have met your match. And then they hit them with the bolt. That never happened. You know, I did see people like when the cow has been slaughtered and they chop it into halves and they're on these big giant hooks and on rails, you know, being put to the fridge and stuff. People taking bites of them and stuff like that just to freak you out. But you had to be careful when I was working at the slaughterhouse to get the cows into their final destination, shall we call it, where the slaughtering happens in the said slaughtering house. Sometimes you had to use a cattle prod, just a little zip, zip to get them in there because...
Oh, you mean the cattle did not want to go in to the slaughter hole?
No. Well, you know, yeah. And if you used the cattle prod a little too much, then you had I don't know what you call them now, vets or some people that made sure guidelines were followed, and you would get in trouble for using the cattle prod. You know what I mean? Because you weren't to scare the animal before it met its final destination, shall we say.
Scared meat tastes worse.
Well, not if you're killing a Chinese dog, apparently.
Okay.
I have no response to that.
Yeah, that's...
No. I'm a lover of dogs. You know what? That's what they do in China.
It's fucking crazy.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely awful. And by the way, we're going down like some kind of condoning cruelty to animals route here. Harrington, what's with the look on the face?
I've never heard of this. I've never heard this story before where they scare dogs to death in China before they eat them. I've never heard that.
No, that's what they do, apparently. I'm no expert on it. And I think the whole practice is utterly disgusting, certainly in this day and age, especially when there's lots of lambs you can just kill in it and they taste way better.
And get a fun TikTok out of it.
Yeah, there you go. No. Apparently they scare the dogs because it releases a ton of adrenaline into the system, obviously. And apparently that makes the meat taste better. Isn't that messed up? Absolutely disgusting.
It's called the Lychee and Dog Meat Festival, and it's a fucking thing I just Googled. Holy shit.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. This day and age, they still do that. But listen, come on, Em. Do you like a bit of lamb, Harrington?
I ate some lamb just the other day. It was absolutely delicious.
I'm not a big lover of lamb, but lamb chops, some good lamb chops. Oof. Absolutely delicious. Listen, I saved lambs. Remember a few years ago, we played the video on the podcast. I'm a saver of lambs. If I was there, I would have taken Gordon Ramsay out. Simple as that.
You're a noted lamb lover.
I'm a lamb lover. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about Manscaped. You know the deal. It is the best. It is what you need. It is essential if you're a man and you want to groom down below. First of all, if you want to groom down below and you want the best value for money, you got to go to manscaped.com and the code is Bisping20. That's only if you want 20% off and free shipping. Listen, right now, Manscaped Performance Package 4.0, that is what's on offer, and it is an incredible deal and an incredible package. You will find the Lawnmower 4.0. You know the deal by now. It's got the skin-safe technology. Basically, you trim your balls and you're not going to hurt yourself. That's you know, let's not word it too politely. That's what we're dealing with here. You can groom yourself, you can trim yourself, and you're not going to hurt yourself. Also, if you're getting a little bit older like me, you might get a little bit of nose hair, ear hair. It's unattractive. Get rid of that. Whack it with the weed whacker. Get rid of it. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Listen, you trim it down, you want it to smell good as well. So we've got that covered. We've got the Crop Reviver Toner. You're also going to get the Boxer Briefs, okay? And that's a lot of stuff. So you're going to get a travel bag to hold all of your goodies, the Shear 2.0 kit, the stainless steel nail cutters, the tweezers, and grooming scissors so you can take care of your feet so you're not walking around like some kind of troglodyte called Harrington. There you go. Manscaped.com. The code is Bisping20. Below the waist grooming, ear grooming, nose grooming, ball smelling nice. You have got no excuse. Simple as that. Manscaped.com is the website. Bisping20 is the code. 20% off and free shipping. Come on, man. What are you waiting for? Talking of meats, obviously, you don't want to be crossing borders, not with a lamb in your backpack, because you'd smell it for one. But obviously, if you're traveling internationally, you've got to declare if you've got any foods. Somebody was entering Australia recently, Harrington. What happened there?
So a man took, I think it was 2 Egg McMuffins and one other McDonald's product over, you know, the border from Indonesia into Australia. He was detained and held up for, you know, a few days, and they ended up fining him $2,000 for sneaking in the fast food.
$2,000. You know, every time you enter a foreign country, they always say, like, anytime I come back into the States, you got to declare any food, dairy products, fruit and vegetables, things like that. And I get it, because you might be introducing, you know, certainly in fruit, there might be some like type of fly or mosquito or something like that that might be buried inside it or something. I don't fucking know. You know, maybe some kind of bacteria or whatever. But an Egg McMuffin from McDonald's, that is the most over-processed, disgusting shit on planet Earth. There's nothing alive in that.
You would think that McDonald's has some sort of international treaty that's just like, any country that has McDonald's, you're just allowed to move between borders.
I feel sorry for the guy, though, because I don't reckon he was trying to, I mean, I don't know, I wasn't there, but they found 2 squishy McMuffins in the back of his backpack. You know what I mean? I used to, not anymore, I've gone often, but I used to love an Egg McMuffin. Sausage and Egg McMuffin. Oof, it's good. when I used to travel at the airport, John Wayne Airport's a little McDonald's. I used to always get one there. I said, fuck it. This is the only time I have one. You know, so you get one, you stick it in your bag, you forget all about it. And then that fucking thing ends up costing you $2,000.
Yeah. So the reasoning behind it is there is a outbreak of foot and mouth disease in Indonesia. So all meats coming in from the country have to go through like very, very thorough inspection. And this guy just trying to sneak in some stuff that had meats in it without going through the screening process shows you just how serious they are about it not affecting Australia's wildlife.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I get it. You got to take stuff like that seriously, but $2,000. How about you just pull him to one side and say, mate, listen, this, you know, you do realize there's a big fucking foot and mouth thing going on right now. You know, $2,000. Do you think he did it on purpose?
I don't know. I don't see. If I had to guess, he didn't know it was a problem and just brought him through and was like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to eat that anyway. I don't know what the flight is from Indonesia to Darwin, Australia. That's where it was. Probably about 4 or 5 hours, something like that. When that's been at the bottom of your bag for a while, Harrington, would you eat it? A 5-hour-old sausage and egg McMuffin at the bottom of your bag under all your sweaty underwear because, you know, you didn't check a bag because you're too cheap. Mm-hmm. So you had all your dirty underwear, your sausage and egg McMuffin's there. It's been there for 5 hours, it's squished. Would you eat it?
If it was a McGriddle, yes. I'm not going to stoop that low for a McMuffin, but something that's got maple flavoring in it, how could I say no?
What is the Americans' obsession with that? Maple flavoring. Sweet things on savory things. It just doesn't work for me.
Sweet and salty. It's the best flavor combo on the planet, has been for hundreds of years.
No. You do that candied bacon, don't you? You guys put sugar in everything. Like, I love baked beans, right? When I do a barbecue, I do some baked beans. You know, they're awesome. I love some nice baked beans. But the majority of baked beans out here, you add sugar to them. Why are they so sweet? What is the obsession? Yeah,
brown sugar is delicious in your baked beans.
On your bacon?
Also on your bacon.
There's a pub around the corner here. They do nice burgers. You get bacon and it tastes like sugar. You get brownies with bacon on. Do you know what I mean? Sweet and savory don't mix.
Kettle corn.
Not a fan of kettle corn.
Oh, kettle corn's the best. Kettle corn is the absolute best.
Salted caramel flavored ice cream. That's ridiculous, but still, that's, you know, it's not what we're talking about here. Anyway, this is not what you tuned in for because we're waffling absolute utter dog shit. And
I was going to ask, what's the craziest thing you've ever like been caught with in your luggage?
The craziest thing? Oh shit, I don't know. Craziest thing I've been caught with in my luggage. I do travel a lot. Nothing really. Nothing that I can think of. Certainly no contraband. No, nothing.
Okay. I got hit with, they found a pair of brass knuckles in my luggage once, and I ended up having to go to jail and missed an episode.
Yes, you did.
I remember that one. I remember. I think I told the story when I was 16, I went to New Zealand for the World Jiu-Jitsu Championships and stopped off via Bali. It's a very long story. But the guy that I was traveling with, I was only 16, he was about 30. He gave me a rucksack to carry. And in that rucksack, there was £5,000. This was 1995. Apparently, you're not supposed to be traveling with that amount of money. But he gave it to me as a kid to get through customs. Then I ended up fucking getting thrown out of the airport in the middle of the night. I got robbed. I had everything stolen. I was stranded. I had a long walk back to the airport. I thought I was going to fucking die of thirst. I was like walking through like a desert with two suitcases in a tracksuit going, oh, water, water, water. Little did I know, because I had a backpack. There's £5,000 inside it. I would have been fine. But anyway, we all need a good laugh after the disappointment of Anthony Smith. And Jake Paul is providing it before we get into the Lioness and her stunning victory, dominant victory at the weekend. Jake Paul, break this one down. I was doing a live on my YouTube and someone said it in the comments. I was like, no, I don't believe it. But this, come on, tell the believers.
Okay, so the story, as far as Jake Paul tells it, is that his bout with Hassan Rahman Jr. has been canceled. Essentially, they contracted, when they went into contract for the fight, they said it would take place at 200 pounds. right? The commission needed Rahman to send in video evidence to prove he was losing the weight on schedule. After 6 weeks, he had only lost 1 pound. So they said the safest possible weight we can do this at is 205 pounds. Jake Paul agreed to that. Then, according to Jake, Rahman's team reached back out and said Rahman will not go below 215, at which point Jake Paul said, no mas, no mas, we're not doing this. This is silly.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I know Dana White came out and made a statement because he didn't make a statement. He was asked about it at the press. He was asked to make a statement. That's like he's fucking really involved in this. He couldn't care less, make a statement. No, he was asked about it. And he said his guess is that they weren't selling many tickets. He said it cost $500,000 just to turn the lights on at Madison Square Garden. And they've decided to pull the plug. And that is a convenient way of doing so. Look, so what were they saying that Rahman was weighing in the video, 215?
Yeah, I think it was he initially weighed in at 218. He got down to 217.
Well, that's easy. Look at what UFC fighters do every single weekend. You ever heard of cutting weight? I mean, he's trying to lose the weight to get down naturally to 200 pounds. He's 6 foot three. He's a big guy. Maybe that is a problem, but it's a professional boxing bout. The fight will not take place until the following evening, right? So that just... You can still say, right, okay, well, you got to make weight. If you don't make weight, the fight's off. That is, I'm sorry, that's an easy way out. I don't buy it at all. I really don't. What do you think?
Well, I mean, look, if the guy is playing games like that, saying, yeah, we'll definitely make 205, we'll definitely make 200, we'll definitely make 205, and then coming back and saying, look, I'm not going past 215 when you're, what, a month out from the bout, that's a little bit fishy.
Yep. Yep. No, you're right.
Like that seems like it wasn't taken in good faith.
No, for sure. For sure. Listen, if you look at it with an open mind, it certainly seems that Rahman's been playing some games. His hands aren't clean here at all. They're not, because if you agree to a fight, you should not be asking for the weight class to be changed. Certainly, what is it, 2-3 weeks out from the fight?
Something
you know,
like that, yeah.
Or a week even. Or whenever these conversations took place, you shouldn't be asking to change the fight. Certainly as a professional, which he supposedly is, you know, he's got 15 professional wins, I believe. That is not how you conduct yourself as a professional fighter. And it pisses me off. So Rahman's probably to blame, but the fact that they canceled the entire event, you know, he could have cut weight. He could have made weight. They could have put in some concessions. They could have said, if you don't make it, then, you know, you're going to get fined 20, 30, 40% of your purse, whatever the case may be. You know, just, I don't know what it is. I don't know, but a few people assumed this might happen down the line. I think it was Eddie Hearn. I think Eddie Hearn said he might do this. I think Eddie Hearn said, oh, he'll pull out. No way he'll fight him. Anyway, there we go.
What do you think about the, and I did put this in the notes, so I'm going to just, you know, tiptoe lightly around this, but what do you think about the concept, right, that a lot of people are talking about online, that Jake Paul tried to reach out to get Rahman to take a dive, Rahman said no, at which point Jake said, we're not doing this fight?
I feel that whoever's saying that, and what do I know? I don't know any of the people involved, okay? I am just giving them credit, I guess. I don't believe that in the slightest. I don't think for one second that they are reaching out trying to get him to take a dive. Number one, think about this. Think about this logically. If Jake Paul reached out to Rahman and his team and said, we want you to take a dive. And he said, no, I'm not doing that. And then Jake Paul said, right, okay, well, I'm going to cancel the entire event. And then I'm going to put out a statement that makes you look like a dickhead. Well, all Rahman's got to do is turn around and say, you asked me to throw the fucking fight. Do you know what I mean? If that's the case, Rahman would be saying so. You know, so anyone putting any kind of weight into that is a damn fool. And I'm not going to sit here and defend Jake Paul. He doesn't need me to. But that is clear as day. Just utter, utter nonsense.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's the best case I've ever heard. Do you genuinely think that ever successfully happens at like high levels in combat sports where one party has another party take a dive?
I don't. That's, you know, I know back in the day, whichever days they were, you know, when the mob was involved with boxing, I know there was a lot of dirty business going on. People were throwing fights. Apparently so. I mean, I wasn't there, you know, but I've seen enough movies and read enough about it online and stuff. But I don't think that still happens to this day. I really don't. I maybe I'm a fool. Maybe I'm a blind fool. Save your jokes. But I really don't. I really don't. I certainly, in mixed martial arts, I don't think so. In professional boxing at a decent level. There's just too many people involved. You would hear something. Somebody would say something. It's hard to keep secrets like that. Certainly in this age of social media. Do you know what I mean? I really don't. Or maybe I'm naive. Maybe I believe in them too much. You know, but yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, should we talk about Amanda Nunes?
I would love to talk about Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, why are we talking about Jake Paul? Why? I just looked at the notes and it was there. Number one story in the notes. Well, That's why.
Okay.
The number one. No.
To be fair, above number one.
No. The number one story in the Jake, because I just looked at it. I was like, yeah, all right, let's talk about this dickhead. But you know what? I say dickhead. I'll watch the fight. I would have been curious to see, you know what I mean? Anyway, moving on. So,
would you have paid for it?
I would have found a stream. Last one I watched on a stream driving home through the Vegas, through the desert after commentating. You know what I mean? I had it on in the Bluetooth in the car. It's like, occasionally give it one of them. It's not easy when you got one eye, but I'm a master of multitasking. Yeah. Anyway, excuse me. This fit soda is delicious, but excuse me.
Comes back on you.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we've got some more non-MMA utter bullshit stories for you in a little bit, but let's talk about UFC 277. Amanda Nunes went out there, got the job done in devastating style, beat Juliana Pena from pillar to post, from start to finish. You know, yes, Pena impressed me with her toughness, but again, as a fighter, you don't want to hear that. Oh, you were really tough though. You know, it's kind of a backhanded compliment. But she did keep trying. God bless her. She never gave up, you know, and she came close. Well, first of all, I think it was round 4 or 3, that armbar. I thought that armbar was, I thought it was over. Fair play to Amanda Nunes for getting out of that, but well done to Pena, because it's the hardest thing is when you're getting the shit kicked out of you like that to continue fighting. You know, I mean, listen, she got dropped in the first round, dropped multiple times in the second round. She was getting pieced up on the feet. Yeah, she landed some shots, and that was clear when you look at Nunes at the press conference. She had some, you know, her face was kind of bust up, but, yeah. You know, the success was few and far between, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think the big shot was the eye to Amanda that really stuck in people's minds. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that was caused from the headbutt from Juliana.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
No, right then. Well,
like an accidental clash of heads.
Right, okay. Well, either way, I thought Pena, you know, the hardest thing is not to give up. Because when you're getting the shit kicked out of you in a fight in mixed martial arts, when you get dropped and someone's on top of you and they're ground and pounding you, all you got to do is this. All you got to do is cover up. All you got to do is stop fighting. And it doesn't even look like you stop fighting. It just looks like you're trying to defend yourself. And then your opponent can start teeing off on you and the referee stops the fight. So you can get out of that situation anytime you want. That the pain that you're going through, you know, that unclimbable obstacle, or, you know, that was bad wording, but you know what I mean? This obstacle that you just can't get over, this person that you just can't beat, you're getting beaten, it's clear you're up against it. To not give up is very, very impressive, because as I say, all you got to do is curl up in a ball and wait for the referee to stop the fight, and they bloody well will. But she didn't do that. And I got to say, for that, she has my respects big time.
Yeah, I mean, certainly constantly fishing for those submissions from the bottom. What did you think about Amanda Nunes continuing to get into Juliana's guard, despite Juliana coming close with the armbar, coming close with the triangle, trying every single Hail Mary submission she could find, and Amanda just kept coming back and pounding her in her own guard? What was your thoughts on her strategy there?
Well, first of all, let's just talk about her on the feet. I mean, that little check right hook that she kept landing from southpaw stance, I thought that was a great read. Listen, Pena, her success, if I'm not mistaken, because I'm not a massive expert on her career, but from what I think is right, she's predominantly a wrestler. And that's kind of what got her into this sport. You know, saying that, it was Nunes that was constantly out-wrestling her. She was able to take it down at will. But the point that I'm making is that when you adapt a striking style, when you fight a southpaw and you're not used to fighting southpaws, it blows your mind. Right now, Amanda Nunes has been around the block forever. She's a very, very experienced fighter, fought multiple styles, fought southpaws, you know, so She just thought, I know, I'm going to fight southpaw in this one, and it's going to blow her mind. Because the same combinations that you would throw don't work against a southpaw fighter as what they would against an orthodox. And then the footwork changes. You're having this foot battle. You're trying to control the outside foot so you have more impact on your shots. Your right hand lands more. Everything changes. So for her to do that, that was genius. That threw her off. That check right hook every time she came in. I thought Nunes looked really, really good on the feet. A little tentative in the first round, but I thought it was a really, really good performance. And yes, she allowed herself. She made some mistakes on the ground, you know, but she was trying to win the fight. All she had to do in the guard is have wide elbows. You can't see on camera here, but you've got to have your elbows wide so that the legs can't get past the elbows. Once one of the legs gets past the elbows, you're talking triangles, you're talking arm bars, all the rest of it. But if you got a nice, firm base, bicep control, elbows wide, you're good for the most part. But still, hey, well done, Amanda Nunes. Great fight. Fair play, Juliana Pena. And that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but so a couple things. One, Juliana is, you know, already on social media talking about, you know, Dana White on the post-fight presser said she had a chunk out of her forehead taken out and she needed to, you know, be rushed to the hospital. Juliana said that there was no plastic surgery needed, just a couple of stitches. She'll be back in no time, and was already calling for the third fight with Nunez. Now, Nunez, for her part, said she didn't get the finish because she wanted to beat her from pillar to post for five rounds and prove that she is, in fact, the better mixed martial artist. Which one which camp do you fall into? Do you want to see a third fight, or do you think Amanda is that much better?
I don't think we'll see another performance. Sorry, I don't think we'll see anything different, is what I mean, a different performance. I think Nunez is the better fighter. I think that was clear. That was clear in the first round of the first fight as well. She got tired. And that's not Juliana Pena's fault. That all belongs on the side of Nunes, right? Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. COVID, whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's got nothing to do with Juliana. You cannot take away from her performance because her opponent got tired. But I think we clearly saw that she's the better fighter, so we don't need the rubber match. However, in terms of what's fair, you know, generally, if they want a piece in title fights, you see the third fight. So if they make the third fight, I'll understand it. And if they don't make a third fight, I will also understand it. But on this point right here, I'm just going to go solo because Harrington has just decided to bail on me. But that's quite all right, because in the co-main event, what did we have in the co-main event, Brian? Who was the co-main event? Remind me.
Was that Brandon Moreno, Kai Kara France?
What a fight.
What a fight
that was. I mean, Moreno, he's a little son of a bitch, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
I called it, man. That dude is the main character in every fight he is in.
I love that guy. Because when it's you see awesome. Him, he's so cheery and likable, and he looks like a little giddy kid, and he's little nerdy, and he's always happy and upbeat and smiley. But then when he fucking walks out there for a fight, there is a shift. You know what I mean? You see him fucking mean mugging, and he fights his goddamn ass off.
Oh, it's always so exciting to watch him fight. And not only that, but what I really appreciate is that when Davinson Figueiredo came in, if that was any other champion at any other weight class at this time, there would be some sort of a WWE-like scuffle going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were just like, oh, this guys who should be essentially athletic rivals are essentially, they're like best friends hanging out.
Yeah, well, you're fast forwarding, Brian. Jesus Christ. I put you in Harrington's hot seat for just a split second and you're messing up the flow. Get me Harrington back. Oh, speak of the devil. There he is. What's going on, Harrington? I see a lot of sideways looking whilst I'm talking. I'm delivering analysis. You're having a freak out with your girlfriend, yeah?
No, I. What happened was the same. I think the reason my computer died before is because this power strip is dead, and I saw the thing that said her computer was about to die, and I'm like, babe, please fix this. Please fix this, and let me keep talking to Michael Bisping.
Well, don't say it like that, because that sounded a little suspect. Let me keep talking to Michael Bisping. Don't ever say a sentence involving my name like that ever again.
All right, fair enough. You
know, I got to keep talking to Michael Bisping. Don't lower yourself to talking like that, please.
This is why they call it the hot seat.
Yeah, but you got a nice shirt on, though. I do like the color on you. Orange is your color.
Thank you. It is the pride flag of the pride jersey of the Sydney Swans of the Australian Football League.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. We were just talking about Brandon Moreno. I mean, he started off good. Kai Kara France fought his way back into the fight. I thought the tide was turning. I thought, holy shit, looks like Kai might get a finish here because he was finding the mark. He got the timing. He was doing damage. And then you can never count out Brandon Moreno. I was just saying what a dog he is and what a great guy outside of the octagon. Lands that liver kick. Holy shit, what a shot.
I wanted to ask you, what is that like for a normal man who's never taken a liver kick? I don't know if you've ever eaten one in a professional fight, but I'm sure you've taken one in sparring at some point. What is that like? What is the shock to the system like? How, like, because you could see the reaction. Just can you talk us through that?
No, it's the same whether it's a punch or a kick to the liver. Do you know, I was reading up, excuse me, on it recently because I was trying to do a breakdown on my YouTube channel about it. Essentially, your body kind of goes into shock and, you know, and whilst it deals with it. And you have no, and I'm butchering this now because it's been a little bit, but you have no option but to drop to your knees because of the nervous system response that it does to you, because the body's trying to figure on that. And I think you're like, I don't know, it does something to your nervous system where you've got no choice but to drop to your knees. It's just agony. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you must have been hit in the stomach at some point and had that little sensation where you feel a little winded, right? Because it's that, or here we go, Brian says, the punch shocks the liver, the largest gland organ and a center of blood circulation, and causes the victim to lose focus and drive and can cause a breathless feeling in the victim. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. That's exactly what it does. You got no choice. You drop to your fucking feet, to your knees, and it's bad. And then you need about 30 seconds, 45 seconds. But of course, in the UFC, they're going to jump on you. Simple. Yeah.
And I mean, Moreno, like, that was so fun to me. Like, the kick to the liver and then the follow-up, like, immediately ready to pounce. There is, you know, I mean, he is he's one of the nicest guys on the microphone, one of, like, the most jovial.
Sorry. No. If you came prepared, if your power pack was taken care of, you would know. Me and Brian already had this conversation, Hamilton. I'm sorry. We cannot go over it again.
All right, fair enough.
I'm busting your balls, Hamilton. You looked so offended then.
It strikes me to have somebody who's that good at Legos have that much of a killer instinct is the only point that I'm making.
No, I know. I did say before, because he's the nicest guy, isn't he? And he really does seem like genuinely a nice guy. It's not an act. And I got to say, I was very, very impressed with Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno afterwards in the cage. I felt for Kai Kara France because it's such a nightmare. You're going to fly away interim title fight. You're taking over. You're doing well. And then you get kicked in the liver and your hopes and dreams are taken away temporarily. So rest up, Kai. He's an exciting fighter. I love watching him fight. So rest up, Kai. But when Figueiredo came in, they were so nice and polite and respectful to one another. And my emotion when I was watching that was one of regret. Why do you think that was?
Could it have something to do with Robert Whittaker?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Because I saw Figueiredo come in, and Figueiredo's got the reputation of being the bad guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he came in and he was so respectful. You know what I mean? And he was so, and I was like, yeah, fair play. That's how I should have handled it with Robert Whittaker when I went in and challenged him, because Robert's like the nicest guy ever. Do you know what I mean? And I should have said something, you're amazing, mate. I look forward to fighting you. But that doesn't sell fights. Do you know what I mean? That doesn't sell fights. It doesn't. So that's, you know, I went in there with the full intention of being nice. I talked about this at the time, but then I saw him there with a belt around his waist, all glistening and looking ripped, and the muscles and fucking a bit of blood coming down his face. I thought, this motherfucker fancies himself. You fucking think you're fucking taking my belt? And then Bisping 101, off I went. Do you know what I mean? But when I watched that with Moreno and Figueiredo, I thought, yeah, fair play, man. I like.
Dude, it was so funny because it's like Moreno is doing the whole thing, and you see Figueiredo is dressed like a WWF wrestling villain, right? Like, he's got the shades on, he's got the belt over the thing, he's sitting there silent. Moreno, when he puts his hand out to shake his hand, I swear to God, like it was Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage in the 80s, right? Figueiredo then gives him the left to shake the hand, and I was like, oh, this is it. This is where he just disrespects him to his face, and then he took the glass off. Was just so cool about it. I was like, all right, I still want to see these guys fight for a fourth time, but that was cool.
No, yeah, but so you're saying he should have done the paddy the baddy move?
What do you mean?
Well, he did that at the Wayne's, didn't he, against Jordan Levin? You see that? He went to shake his hand and then pulled it away. Yeah, you can't do that. Paddy already did that. That would have been super lame.
Well, I just want to make this point. I think it's cool that with these two, we've seen them fight three times. We've seen these two go to war three different times. So like, you don't need the shit talking to sell this fight anymore. We know anytime those two fight, it's going to be amazing. So it was cool to see them show respect.
No, I totally agree with that. You're absolutely right. The fight sells itself, let's be honest. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about Fit Soda. Listen, we are addicted to this stuff in our house, and that is not a lie. Everyone loves a nice fizzy drink. Everyone loves a bit of soda. But if you look at people that drink a lot of soda, you're going to see that, unfortunately, they're probably obese. A lot of people that have a lot of health problems and weight problems, they're drinking a lot of soda. A lot of people with messed up teeth, they're drinking a lot of soda. If you want that soda fixed, but you don't want to get fat, you don't want to rot your teeth, and you don't want to mess up your body, this is where Fit Soda comes in. First of all, it's absolutely delicious, okay? They've got a variety of flavors. The citrus one is my favorite, but this one here, the black cherry cola. They got the orange cream, root beer float, the sparkling citrus. As I say, that is my personal favorite. Listen, there's zero calories. Zero. Zero calories in this. Branched chain amino acids are involved for recovery and electrolytes for hydration. It tastes incredible. It is guilt-free soda drinking. And listen, I'm just telling you now, little life hack, if you throw a little bit of vodka in there as well, the perfect mixer for your alcoholic beverage with no calories, depending on what you put in it, of course. But listen, I'm telling you right now, we love this stuff in our house. We are going through it by the bucket load. You want to give it a try. You will not be disappointed. I'm a big, big fan of this product. Go to fitsoda.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE. You're going to get 20% off your order. I'm telling you right now, this has the Michael Bisping seal of approval. You will not be disappointed with this product. The flavor is second to none. It is guilt-free soda drinking. There's zero calories, and it's good for you. The branched chain amino acids, the electrolytes for hydration, and of course, as I said, zero calories. Fitsoda.com. Code is BELIEVE. 20% off. All right, we'll go through these other ones real quick. We talked about Smith. Big one is Derek Lewis and Sergey Pavlovich. I felt for Derek Lewis, man. It's the Texas curse. Well, it's not the Texas curse. He was beaten by the better man. The big discussion is whether or not the fight should have been stopped, whether or not it was early. Brian and Harrington, give me your opinions, please.
I think it was stopped about 8 seconds too late, right? Like if you have Derek Lewis on the ground and you're throwing shots at him like that, nobody is gonna step in and say there was an issue, right? It was that Lewis seemed to be starting to get up, I guess, when the wave off happened that caused some issues there. So it's like, if you're the ref, just make the decision. This is the time to end it and end it. Don't, like, the hesitancy, I think, is what made that an unclean stoppage.
Yeah. Go on, Bri.
When Lewis took that hook on the floor and flopped without his hands down, that was absolutely the right time to call it. I don't think it was too late.
No. I don't think it was too late. The question is, was it too early? That's what of the feedback is.
I don't think it was either, because I mean, he flopped face first.
Yeah.
No hands. You don't do that unless you're at least a little unconscious.
Correct. Because Dana said at the post-fight presser, he said he thought it was stopped a little early, but also at the same time said, I understand why Dan Mergliano stopped it. He said he's an incredible referee. And to Brian's point, if you're in a fight and you get hit so hard that you face plant into the octagon, that your head hits it, and you haven't got the wherewithal to put your hands out to stop yourself, then clearly something's amiss. Something, you're clearly not thinking properly.
You're discombobulated.
You are discombobulated at best, knocked out most probably at worst. You know what I mean? He was probably a little unconscious. Well, he's probably unconscious, not a little. There's no little or a lot. He was unconscious, okay? And I think that when he hit the canvas, it probably brought him back round. And then, yes, he did jump back up. But I know when I've been unconscious, when you come round, it's like you have this fucking crazy energy to you because, I don't know, imagine I guess it's like the fight or flight thing from us when we were cavemen or whatever. You know, this fucking defense mechanism kicks in. You know, he comes around, jumps up, he's fucking back to his feet. He's like, no, I'm good. So, no, you're not good, buddy. You just face planted and hit the canvas. And I take no enjoyment from saying that. I'm a huge Derek Lewis fan. I love his persona. I love everything about him. He's a great guy. He's fucking hilarious. He's a savage fighter. But Sergei Pavlovich was just a better man, and he landed those shots, you know, and he got a little excited. I think it was the pressure of fighting in his home state once again, wanting to provide entertainment, wanting to get that knockout. So therefore, he got a little reckless. Sergei's shots were straight down the middle, whereas Lewis's were looping shots. The straight punches are always going to win, and certainly against a guy like fucking Sergei Pavlovich. The man is an absolute beast. He could be a real contender. I mean, obviously, just beat Lewis. Sergei Pavlovich isn't a man that gets spoken about a lot, but he is fucking... I think he made his UFC debut against Alistair Overeem. Since then, he's beaten everyone. So keep an eye on that name. And Derek Lewis, you will be back. Don't take a deep breath. You were going to say something. I'm not allowing you. We're stopping there. We're moving on. We got news. We got views. We got things to talk about. Throw a non-MMA story at me, Harrington, first.
Okay. How about this? Do you want to talk about this? A man was arrested by police in England because of his social media post?
Well, not really now, no. No, because it started at the top, like we're defending Gordon Ramsay's fucking cruelty to animals. Then we get into fucking, what was it? Slaughtering the animals, mm-hmm. then dogs being murdered and mm-hmm. scared, which I'm not a fan of. I don't agree with at all.
Well, that's why I didn't go with the first news story.
What was the first news story?
The woman who was trapped in her car in Arizona.
Well, now you've got to bring that up.
Okay. So yeah, Brian, if you want to pull up the video, I'll give a bit of a backstory here. So the woman in Arizona, essentially there was just too much rainfall. There was like way, way, way more rainfall than they're used to in this one area. It led to, you know, just uneven ground. And you can see this woman here. Her car seems to be crashed or something. It's in an embankment. Water is rushing by. It's coming into the car, and the police are attempting to help her out now.
This is an actual nightmare of mine.
Here, wrap this around this.
This is messed up big time. But listen to the panic in, the fireman's arm.
Go. Hang on, here comes Eddie. Got it? Come on, I got you, come on. Hurry, the water's coming, man. Come on, Eddie, get over here.
Because the car's going to get washed away.
It doesn't matter, let's go. Come on, man. Get up. What's your... Nobody's going. Come on. Give me your other hand. I will get your dog. I will get it. Come on.
We got you.
I'm slipping. Grab her.
We got you, brother. We got you. Okay. Is somebody else in the vehicle?
Get my dog.
We'll get your dog.
Get on your leg.
Yeah. All right. No, that is terrifying.
That's our daily dose of anxiety brought to you by Believe You Me.
Yeah. I mean, there is a joke in there that I don't want to say, but like that dog was probably primed for being killed because you didn't need to scare it first, because I guarantee the adrenaline was flowing there, but I don't want to get cancelled by fucking YouTube.
Somebody call the festival.
Yeah, exactly. Aww. Well, the poor dog. Rest in peace to the dog. But you can hear the frustration on the fireman or Coast Guard or
police,
whatever.
I think.
Oh, police. It's like, listen, we'll get the fucking dog in a minute, but you're going to die along with the dog. Get out of the car, you stupid bitch. We're all risking our fucking lives here. Do you know what I mean? Please, if you get out now, then we'll have a little bit more time to try and get your dog. But if you don't get out now, you're all dead. Jesus Christ.
Okay, would you, right? Harry's trapped now, right? Harry's trapped in the car. It's just you. The cops are coming. They're saying, look, we can pull you out right now. Do you dive back in and try to save Harry, or are you helping yourself out and letting the cops handle the dog?
I'd bet he doesn't like Harry that much.
Oh, I love little Harry. Don't be silly. I'm a lover of animals. I feel like I'm going to fucking say this now because of the start of the show. You know what I mean? And the next one, I don't even want to say the next topic, because we're going to see my bloody raging Nazis and bloody homophobes and bloody animal haters. No, if it was Harry, Harry's very small. Right, I would just grab him and throw him out the window. The window was open. Throw him out the window, I would have been fine. But isn't that scary, man? You know, imagine that, be absolutely terrifying. She looked like an older lady, the poor thing. Anyway, she got saved. That's the main thing. Have you ever been in a situation like that, Harrington? Ever nearly drowned?
No, I've never nearly drowned. I have messed my car up pretty bad. I had like a tree going through my engine block at one point. Like I hit three trees going about 80 miles an hour. I was the only injury, a broken nose because I wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
How do you hit three trees going 80 miles an hour, dare I ask?
So I was hydroplaning on the way back from a fast food run in high school and, you know, just drifted all the way from the left, all the way to the right. There was no guardrails on the right. So I just went down an embankment, hit one tree, hit another, like spun around, hit another, and then spun back right around into the
sounds like a lovely, nice little country lane you were driving on there, Harrington.
Surprisingly, not the reason why Harrington stopped drinking.
Oh, is that the reason you stopped drinking?
No, that was another accident years later.
Yeah. Well, does it sound like the type of street you could drive 80 miles an hour on? Would it be fair to say that you were speeding, Harrington?
I mean, it was literally a three-lane highway. I was speeding a little bit. 80's a bit over.
Anyway, well, there you go. Well done to the policemen there. So what have we got in the MMA? What news have we got? Well, Kamaru Usman. We got Drew Dober. We got Edson Barboza. Kamaru Usman. Give me the lowdown.
So he's going to be in a Marvel movie.
Yeah, it's great.
The Nigerian Nightmare is going to be.
That's it. That's the lowdown. I said, give me the lowdown. You go, he's going to be in a Marvel movie. I could have said that myself, Harrington.
Okay.
Elaborate.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't give me any details, right? Like, all I know is it's going to be a guest role in the new sequel, Wakanda Forever. Obviously, Black Panther was the original there. But yeah, he's going to be in the sequel doing something. Who knows?
Hey, that's awesome. Well done to him. And he deserves it. You know, what a career that man's having. That's cool to see more and more MMA fighters doing stuff like that. Obviously, I'm off doing a lot of film myself soon. But that's great. You know what I mean? It makes sense. Anyway, it's set in Africa. The Nigerian Nightmare is the champion of the world. He's potentially the pound-for-pound number one. He's very, very famous. That'd be awesome. Well done to him. Very, very happy for him. He deserves it. Leon Edwards coming up, though. Jeez. What do you think? Early thoughts on that fight, Harrington? Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman.
I mean, I don't know. I remember I was thinking that the same thing watching the Moreno fight, right? Like we've seen these guys fight before. We've seen both guys make massive, massive improvements since the first time that they fought. Why would I believe Leon's improvements have been better than Kamaru's when Kamaru's have already shown like they were good enough to get the win the first time?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. You could look at it a completely other way, though, and say, you know, he's learning how to defend takedowns now. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen it. I think since it originally happened, but he out wrestled him essentially, if I'm not mistaken, took him down, controlled him a lot, things like that. There was a lot of stuff up against the fence. Leon's got better in that situation now. And when you look at the fight with Bilal Muhammad ragdolls people. Look what he did to Vicente Luque, you know, the fight ended very prematurely because of the eye poke in the second round. What's going on? Someone breathing into my ear. I hear, you know, when someone's like breathing through a nose and it whistles. Yeah. Is that you?
That's me.
Is your nose whistling?
Yeah, my nose whistles, dude.
Do it again. Up.
I can't.
I'm chatting away there, and someone's whistling in my ear. I'm like, that is a nasal whistle.
Sorry about that. I have the stats for the first fight. 6 of 13 takedowns completed by Kamaru Usman. Over 10 minutes of control time in a 15-minute fight.
Yeah. Yeah, so there it is. So he essentially used his grappling, his control, his takedowns. I think Leon's improved leaps and bounds. And on the feet, I don't know if he has the power to knock out Kamaru Usman, but in terms of technical ability, Leon's really slipped. By the way, I'm not sitting here saying Leon's going to win. I'm not going to sit here and disrespect the champ like that, and we'll do a proper analysis nearer the time. I'm just saying I think this is going to be a closer fight than what a lot of people think think it is. You know, Leon's almost perfect when it comes to the stand-up. He's got a great understanding of range management. He keeps his distance well. He's got long, straight shots, always in good shape. He's big for the weight class, and now he can defend takedowns better. I'm just saying, you know, I think this is going to be a real tough test for Kamaru Usman. It's an interesting fight.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be a walkthrough by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, especially given the fact that, like, you know, I mean, their first fight did go to a decision. So it's like, I don't know. I see a path to victory for both men in this fight. But, you know, just my brain, I guess, tells me if Kamaru Usman's getting into a fight, I got to pick Kamaru Usman until I see him.
Hey, hey, and rightly so. Rightly so. History has shown so far. I mean, Kamaru's unbelievable. I'm not talking shit. I'm not saying, as a Brit, you know what I mean? I kind of got to support him. But the problem is, Kamaru's such a fucking great guy as well. Not only inside the octagon, you know, which is, he's phenomenal, but outside, Kamaru's a really good person. He's a good dude. He's a gentleman. I like him a lot. I every time I've shared his company, he's been nothing but so respectful, fun to be around. He's a great guy. Came on the show a while ago as well. Kamaru's a good dude, man. So may the best man win. I'm just saying, I think it's going to be close. So let me see here. Tell me about this in Russia, because this is just, I mean, it fits Russia, but it's mental.
I wish I could tell you anything more than what I have in the notes. In Russia.
Hold on. Before anyone knows, tell me there's a video.
Oh, there is a video. Mike, I would not put this in the notes if there was no video. I have a little bit more faith in your boy. There is, Russia played host to a 600v600 amateur fight. I mean, dude, when I say amateur, I mean amateur.
600? Well, it has to be amateurish, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Think about that. Think about, it's hard enough in regional MMA getting two skilled combatants to fight one another. Imagine finding 1,200 people that are good, that are going to take place in the same fight. I mean, come on. I mean, talk about, I mean, that is so fucking mental. That's just called a mass brawl. That's not mixed martial arts.
This looks like a war. Mixed martial war.
Yeah. Let's take a look. Look at that. That is like a war.
Now, if you look closely, some of these guys have headgear, other guys don't. I think some guys may be wearing MMA gloves, with some guys wearing boxing gloves. None of this makes any sense.
This is absolutely insane. Look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like what you see in, like, you know, like the old medieval time movies where they have war scenes in Game of Thrones or whatever, you know, and the two armies go head to head, like in Braveheart or whatever. But they all have swords and shit. I mean, that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, but with fists.
Yeah, but with fists and punches and kicks and whatnot. I mean, that is just, I mean, oh my God.
Dude, look at that one guy in the red hat taking on like four different dudes.
Oh my God.
And there's just filming like they won't get
Yeah, like they're not going to get caught in the scuffle. Do you know what I mean? Now, we're just going to stand there and film. Don't be surprised if you get punched in the face. Oh, sorry, brother. You're in the way. You're in my line of fire. Fucking insane. Only in Russia. Fucking hell. My God.
Very on brand. Very
That's also
brand.
Where they do the team fighting, like the 5-on-5 team fights.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, I've seen those. They're all over the internet, and they're now insane as well.
Now they do one where it's not a whole ring. It's like an alleyway. It's a boxing ring, but it's super skinny. It's like one person wide, and it's just the teams line up and then they just go at it like one at a time. And if you knock a dude out, that guy rolls out and the next dude comes down the line. It's fucking wild.
So there's like rings, there's like ropes, like a boxing ring.
It's a boxing ring, but instead of being a whole ring, it's just a hallway, essentially.
It's a hallway. Right. Because I was going to say the people that go down would get trampled on, surely, but they just roll under the
ropes. Just roll out. It's fucking awesome. Oh, I'll try to find a video for next episode.
Oh, my God. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. Listen, if you work on your own car, if you need something for your car, if you want to start working on your car, or if you're a car guy or a car girl, if you just love cars, engines, spanners, oil, nuts and bolts, carburetors, exhaust, tailpipes, as you guys call it, exhaust pipes, we say in the UK. Listen, if you need any of that stuff, or you need any accessories or any car parts for your engine, then you got to go to rockauto.com. All jokes aside, listen, they've been in business for over 20 years. That's because they've got everything that you need at the best possible prices. So if you're tinkering away on your car and you're going to spend half an hour driving down to the store, no need. Just go to rockauto.com. When you're there, you're not going to have a salesman selling you things that you don't need. You're not going to have a store taking their retail markup. No, you're just going to sit there at your own leisure, at your computer, maybe on your phone. Go to Safari if you're an iPhone person. Go to rockauto.com. There's no promo code because the prices cannot get any cheaper. Simple as that. If you need a car part, you need to go to rockauto.com and tell them that the Believe You Me podcast sent you. Thank you very much. Throw a non-MMA at me, Harrison.
A non-MMA. All right, let's see here. An Ohio man went viral on TikTok.
Not that one. Oh, not okay. That one. All right. It's boring. You got to tell the people now. A guy from Ohio went viral on TikTok, announcing that he was leaving his six-year-old teaching job in career of a career managing a Walmart, which would give him a pay rise.
I just thought it was kind of interesting that teachers are leaving behind their degrees. They're leaving behind the safe confines of a school and going to work for a massive corporation because that's where the money is today. I think it's interesting.
What piqued my interest was the fact that for managing a Walmart, you can get up to $170,000. I mean, that's not a bad salary for someone that apparently is unskilled.
Right. And I mean, the benefits that come with working for a Walmart, like yeah. I was reading that being like, man, do I just send in my 2 weeks notice to Believe You Me right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Give it a shot. And if you do, they're paying you better than we are, Harrison. So go ahead. Apparently, what is it called? In-N-Out Burger. If you manage an In-N-Out Burger, Brian, just Google that. The salary for managing In-N-Out apparently something comparable to that. Yeah, it's very, very good. But you have to start as, you know, like, I don't know, the guy mopping the floors or, you know, tossing the fries or whatever. And you work your way up. You become a manager and you get like, great money.
Like that Kanye West song?
Coming to America.
Okay, yeah.
It says about $73,000 a year at the top end.
Nah, it's not what I saw. Not what I saw, but can't believe everything on the internet.
Another article says they make $160,000.
Ah, there we go.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. Well, go on, Harrington. It's your topic. You brought it up. What else you got to say on the matter?
Absolutely nothing. I was going to move on to yesterday's date. I don't know if you wanted to talk about this one at all.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, the classic cartoon character, George Jetson.
Oh, that one. Oh, fucking hell. No, I thought you were talking about the guy getting arrested for social media.
No, I can do that.
Let's talk about that one.
Okay.
George Jetson. I was like, oh, God, I rolled my eyes when I saw that one.
Forget it. Man was arrested by police in England because his social media post caused anxiety to another party. You can actually hear the cop saying that as he's making the arrest in this video. Brian, if you want to bring that up, that is, it's towards the end here.
Now, hold on, just pause it, Brian. Before Harrington did some research and discovered actually what was going on, because I said, hold on, figure out what it was before we talk about it. But when I saw this video and I saw what he is being arrested for, I just thought, this is just unbelievable. But and it is still unbelievable. And the guys, we'll get to it in a second. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too soon. The guy's obviously a piece of shit. But have we turned the corner in society that you're now getting arrested for what you post on social media? Because I don't know if that's a good road that we want to go down.
In some places we are.
Yeah. Press play.
Realize how ridiculous this is.
It is ridiculous.
What did it need to come to?
Tell us why you escalated it to this level. Because I don't understand. I posted something that he posted. You come to arrest me, you don't arrest him. Why has it come to this? Why am I in cuffs? Because of something he shared, then I shared.
Because someone has been caused, obviously, anxiety based upon your social media site. That's
not
his. Why you've been arrested.
So there it is. So someone was caused anxiety from what they posted on social media. Now, it turns out that what he did post was a disgusting thing. Harrington, if you want to explain.
It was a swastika made out of pride flags.
It's fucking stupid.
I'm not going to pull it up here, but people have seen it. It's a very common internet meme.
Oh, really? I haven't seen it. I haven't. But so who the fuck's sharing swastikas, you fucking piece of shit? But still, let's get back to the point of what we're saying. Somebody, that's what he was being arrested for. It wasn't apparently for sharing a swastika. You've been arrested for causing anxiety to somebody over a social media post. If that actually is what the charge is for, I mean, that all comes down to the person with the anxiety. That's like saying that's causing me anxiety. That's like saying I'm offended. Well, that's all in the, what's the word? You know, the beauty is in the beholder.
Subjective.
The person that is, subjective. There you go. Thank you, Brian. You know what I mean? I could say I'm offended by your shirt.
Why? My shirt's dope.
I am.
Yeah, but no, but you know what I mean? Where do we end? I could say I'm offended by that stuff behind you there, haven't you? I don't like it. It looks like a couple of tins of paint have been thrown against the wall onto a rug. And that is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? Just because someone's offended or someone's caused a little bit of anxiety, you're going to send the police round? Do you know what I mean? It's a slippery slope, I feel.
Yeah, so reading like the charge that he was arrested on was, you know, malicious posting on the internet, and then his buddy who was filming also got hit with obstruction of a police officer. I will tell you, the police, like the police station or whatever, the chief magistrate of that police station said this was not handled properly. Right, he said right. that he has sent the incident on to the College of Policing so that this will be handled better in the future. And he doesn't want the precedent to be set that people are going to start getting arrested for social media posts.
I see. But, you know, there's two sides to everything as well. And while I do, you know, I do think it could be a slippery slope. Also, at some point, I do think people that share, you know, or purposely post or attack somebody on social media with like really disgusting stuff, because there is some stuff that should not be shared and should not be posted. I do feel at some point, you know, there has to be a tipping point where you have to be held accountable for something. Do you know what I mean? Because no, Brian? No. But,
I disagree. No, I just don't think that...
I'm talking like, you know, there was that shooting in New Zealand. You know what I mean? Where the guy went into the mosque and he filmed everything. Do you know what I mean? Sharing shit like that. Do you know what I mean? I'm not sure.
That's
disgusting.
That stuff shouldn't be shared. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like it should just be dependent on human decency. Like it's
correct.
But I feel like a social ostracization is more, you know, it's more feasible. It's less in like tyrannical than the police coming to handle your fucking I'm offended business. I feel like that's
wrong. And I'm with you on that as well. You know what I mean? Just because you get offended by something, the police should not be called. But still, you know, sharing stuff like that or super, super sensitive stuff, whatever it is, you know what I mean? I mean, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line at some point and say, right, hold on a minute. What, like pedophilia? You know, babies getting molested online. Do you know what I mean? That can't be allowed in this modern world, which where social media. And by the way, I'm not defending it. I'm not saying this is my stance. I'm just asking the question. Do you know what I mean? Are we going to allow it to become the norm simply because people don't want to be silenced and we've got to have free speech? But at what point do you say, hold on, common decency has to be applied here? Do you know what I mean?
When violence is actually being. Like, words are not violence, no matter what anybody wants to say. Like, words themselves are not violence. However, a call to action, a call to violence could be, you could be held accountable for that.
But sharing extreme violence
it's already illegal. Like, not extreme violence, but like an illegal act. Like, you can't, like you were saying, like child porn or whatever. Like, you can't share that shit. You can't own it. Like to jail, you know, like there's definitely, and that's from somebody being caused harm by that. Right. So if your product is directly causing harm, then you should be dealt with because of the harm you're being dealt with. But just fucking sharing words or like a picture of a rainbow swastika because you think that the liberals are being Nazis is not, should not be punishable by loss of freedom, I believe.
No. I do agree. However, there has to be some point where, I don't know, if you're a dickhead, you're a dickhead. I don't think you have to call the police. You know,
yeah, everybody should just know you're a dickhead then.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, anyway, whatever. But well put, Brian. Very eloquently said so, if I do say so. What else have we got in the world of mixed martial arts, Harrington?
Edson Barboza has signed up to fight number 15, Ilia Topuria. I don't know if you remember the undefeated Georgian.
It's Topuria.
Topuria. Look, man, you're the one who gets the pronunciation guide every single week.
No. It's clearly Topuria. T-O-P-T-U-R-I-A. There's an I-A on the end. It's a ia.
Oh, okay. I wrote it down wrong or something. I don't know, man.
It's all right. The errors don't end there. The errors will continue as well because I spotted it. Did he beat somebody last month in London?
Did he not?
No.
Jai Herbert? He didn't KO Jai Herbert in UFC London last month?
Not last month, in March.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then I'm a damn dummy. My bad.
No, it's a minor thing, minor thing. Great fight. Great fight. Ilia Topuria, if you're not familiar with him, what's his record now, Harrington? Like 14-0, 15-0?
Yeah, he is. He's 12-0 right now. 12. And he has gone 1-2-3-4-0 since joining the UFC back in October of 2020.
Yeah, he's excited. He's really, really good. Remember, he was going back and forth with Paddy the Baddy. They were talking a lot of shit, even though they're in. He's 145, Paddy's 155. Mm-hmm. But. He was even talking about going up a weight class to fight Paddy, but you know,
well, he did.
Never
he went
materialized.
Up, he went up the weight class to fight Herbert, so that he has made his 155-pound debut, despite being the number 15 ranked featherweight.
Yeah, yeah, but for me, it's more the bigger talking point for me is Edson Barboza. You know, I mean, just look him up, Brian or Harrison, and just see when did he make his UFC debut or his MMA debut, because he's got to be getting near the end of his run. You know what I mean? Barboza has brought so much action to the octagon, and I'm such a fan. You know what I mean? He came as just a pure striker. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu now. Go on.
He says UFC 123, November 2010.
Yeah.
123 in 2010? I would have thought it was way sooner than that. I don't know why. I think because I'm such an old bastard, when I hear something like that, I'm like, oh, that's not that old. Do you know what I mean? So he's been at it for a while, though. 2010, 12 years in the promotion, brought so many great fights, and he's still taking on killers like Ilia Topuria.
Well, it's also like it's just the vastness of his record, right? He's 22-11. When he joined the company, he was a 6-0 24-year-old back in 2010. You know, so
and
it's
what's
like,
his record now?
He is 22-11.
22-11. Yeah, it's been a long road. He's had some ups and downs, but he is never in a boring fight. You know what I mean? You gotta love Edson Barboza. I mean, every time you just think of that knockout of what's his face, Terry Ettim. Mm-hmm. Shout out Terry Ettim. He's had some other sensational performances against Dan Hooker. That was a great fight, if I remember correctly. And Ilia Topuria is awesome, so that's going to be a fantastic fight.
Well, but I mean, it's also, he has been fighting nobody but the absolute best of the best at 135 and 145, dating back to, I mean, you know, 2014, Cowboy, Evan Dunham, Bobby Green, Michael Johnson, Felder, Tony Ferguson, Pettis, Melendez, Benil Dariush, Khabib, Lee, Hooker, Gaethje, Felder again, IG, Makwana Markhani. There's not a single name in there where you're like, oh yeah, that's an easy fighter. That was a step back, or you know, that was him regaining some confidence. It's like he has fought nothing but killers for the last 8 years, and he stays active.
Well, his last fight was against Bryce Mitchell, I believe, as well.
Yes, sir.
The undefeated Bryce Mitchell. That's a nightmare matchup for a lot of people. And then coming off that one, now he's going to fight the undefeated Ilia Topuria. Do you know what I mean? The balls on this man is like, but can we give him a favorable matchup? Do you know what I mean? But hey, that's why you're going to love this guy. Gotta love this guy. Unfortunately, don't have too much time today. I got to get going in a minute because I've got a horse riding lesson because I'm going to bloody Bulgaria for this movie, and I've got to know how to ride horses. So I know, I am sorry, believers. You will hate me for that saying that sentence. I've got to go because of a horse riding lesson, but I do. Do we have any questions to finish off with, or is there any burning desire to talk about anything else, Harrington, before we go?
All right, before we go, but there is burning desire. I've been wanting to say this for quite some time.
Right, okay. Burning desire. What you're about to say, you have quite literally a burning desire to discuss this.
Oh, a fire in my heart. A fire in my heart.
Well, I'm excited.
For the one, the only, Alexander Pantoja, how incredible was his performance on Saturday? And how much do you feel for him now seeing Figueiredo in there with Moreno, knowing that he's probably still a fight away from a title shot?
Listen, he'll get his shot eventually. Certainly if he continues to fight like that, because Pantoja went out there. I mean, Jesus Christ. They said he wanted to make a statement. He made a statement. He went out there straight at Alex Perez. put it on him from the opening bell, got the rear naked choke, all our action from start to finish. What a performance. And look, listen, I think you already knew that Figueiredo and Moreno are probably going to do it again. Now, of course, they are going to do it again. So, yeah, it's one of those things. You know, I don't think that bothers him in the slightest. You know, he's going to get his shot. And certainly if he keeps on winning and winning in a style like that, that's the main thing.
If you were in his shoes, would you take another fight that wasn't for a UFC title?
Yep, 100%. Yes, yes, yes. You don't sit on the sidelines. Dana speaks about it all the time, how it never plays out for people. He talked about it just recently. Said that Yair Rodriguez, apparently, so a journalist asked him, Yair Rodriguez, according to the journalist, I forget who it was, asked Dana, said, apparently Yair said that he's going to wait. He wants to fight Volkanovski, regardless of whether or not Volkanovski is going to move up to 155 and fight the champ there. Whatever the situation, he will wait his turn for a shot at Volkanovski. And Dana was like, oh, right, great. But you know how that normally works out for people. You know, it's not a good idea. You don't want to sit and wait. You got to, oh, listen, if there was a clear fight happening, if you were told that you were going to get the fight, then of course you don't take another fight. But right now, that's not the situation. So you got to keep fighting. You got to keep earning. You got to stay current. You got to stay in the public's view. You know what I mean? You got to make your case. Right now, that wasn't an official number one contender fight. He is not the number one contender. Do you know what I mean? So therefore, yes, in his mind, you know, but that's always the case. You know, things can happen. Things can transpire. Somebody might drop down a weight class. That's a big name. You never fucking know. And then what? In the meantime, you've just sat there and wasted a year of your career, a year of your prime, potentially waiting for a fight that might never materialize. It's a dangerous game to play. But still, that fire burning in your heart has just been extinguished because I got to go. I got to go. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back on Thursday with another episode of the Believe You Me podcast. If you haven't subscribed and rang the bell, then now's your time to do so. Thursday, Anthony Smith will be back. We'll ask him all about it, see where his head's at. We also have Sugar Sean O'Malley joining us as well, so very interested to talk to him. Harrington, anything to say?
If you enjoy this show, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, positive review. If you're watching on iTunes, make sure watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and you click the like button before you leave. And if you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM to get yourself 7 days free.
And if you want to have some lamb, okay, buy it from the supermarket. Don't go and murder innocent lambs. Don't speak to them first, but I love Gordon Ramsay and he's having a fucking laugh. So what you all need to relax. And by the way, when we're talking about the dogs, I've never murdered a dog in my life. So go fuck yourselves again. And anything else that you might be offended about, I don't care. And we didn't say anything offensive. So walk off and see you soon.